So it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you. Now, I know there's some people that are not mothers, but you can be a surrogate mother. You can be an influence to so many people. You know, when my father was with us, my dad was a father, if you will, to those who didn't really have close fathers to them. And so we can influence and be effective in people's lives no matter who we are or where we are. So just because you may not have a particular door open for you, you can still be a blessing to someone around you. And I just want to encourage you with that. So I just want to look at a couple things here. How do the animal mothers care for their young? Chimpanzees care for their young for about 4 to 5 years. Lions, about 3 years. Polar bears, 2 to 3 years. Birds, until they get up and fly. Possum, the mother of the possum, puts her young on her back, and she doesn't leave them for a long time. Rabbits, until the baby's eyes are open. So that's pretty quick, right? It's not a long... Spiders typically dies before the birth of their young. And so what animals don't care for their young? Most reptiles don't care for their young. Snakes never care for their young. Could you just imagine, right? Turtles leave their eggs on the beach. And fish don't care for their young at all. And here's an interesting one. A bird called the cuckoo bird leaves their eggs in another bird's nest to make the other bird take care of her chicks. Isn't that interesting? Sounds pretty cuckoo, right? But that's true. That's true. Human mothers typically a whole lifetime. And the love of the mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all in good times, in difficult times, in face of the world's condemnation. Our mother's love still goes on. And once again, when we speak of Mother's Day like Father's Day, some people cringe. They might not have had a good example of a mother. And some may have a good example of the mother. Some mothers are not here today, that God has called them home. And so we have the remembrance of those. But listen, we want to honor their position that God has used them to bring you here, right? Without a mother, we wouldn't be here. And so we want to honor our mothers and thank them for what they've done. And so often, once again, we can be an influence to other people. So if you're a mother today, and most of the people in this room, if you are a mother, you're in your grandmother stage, most of the people, not everyone, right? So your kids are up and gone. My son Keith's getting married, and he'll be heading out. And so as our children leave the nest, if you will, we can be an influence to someone else, a young girl, right? Older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to be good wives and teach them how to cook and teach them how to care for their husbands in the future. And so there's so many things. Listen, so many things that you can do. Just because your kids are not with you now, oh, you'll be a mother forever. You'll have a mother's heart forever. And a mother's heart is one that cares. And so be encouraged. A mother of three notorious unruly youngsters was asked whether or not she'd have children again. And they said, will you ever do this again? And she said, yes, she replied, but not these same kids, right? So, just saying, by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child care, generated work just because they became a mother. Things begin to change in their life. My boys were 13 months apart. I remember when my older son was 3 months old, my wife came in with the pregnancy test, and it said positive, and she walked in crying to me and showed it to me, and I started laughing, right? I started laughing. It wasn't funny to her. So our boys are 13 months apart. That means they both were in high chairs at the same time. It's like having twins. They both had child car seats and everything else. And so how many kids do you have? Multiply that by 1,000 hours a year, and you'll see how quickly caring for a child becomes a full-time job. Now, once again, if you're a grandmother or your kids are out of the house, man, what a great opportunity to be a mother to someone else's kids, perhaps that they weren't able to do. And you know what's great about that is you don't have to take them home with you, right? You could just be encouraging, especially when they're adults. Listen, there's a lot of teenagers today that don't have examples, or even older women who don't perhaps didn't have a good example on how to be a proper mother, how to care for their kids. And And certainly you could be a part of that in their lives, as the Lord wills and opens up the doors of opportunity. A little boy was talking with a girl next door, and I wonder what my mom would like for Mother's Day. The girl answered, well, you could promise to keep your room clean and orderly. You could go to bed as soon as you're told, and you could brush your teeth before bed, and you could quit fighting with your little sister, especially at the dinner table. And the little boy looked at her puzzled and said, I don't think so. I meant something practical, right? And so in today's sermon, we'll celebrate the importance of mothers and see a refreshing story of a mom that desired, listen, the best for her sons. Salome was a wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, and in all probability the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. The majority of sermons on this message chastise this mother for making this request. Jesus didn't chastise her. He only told her that she did not know what she was asking for. There was no crime in her seeking the best seats in the house for her two sons. And Salome wanted her boys to excel in the kingdom of God. So we need more mothers that will intercede on behalf of their children, pleading with God. I'm not saying get in your kids' business, right? If your kids have left your house, they've left your house, okay? But you can intercede on behalf of, for them with the Lord on their behalf. And so our text this morning is Matthew chapter 20. Please turn with me, Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 24. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and the other on your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and baptize with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with my baptism, that I am baptized with you. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with these two brothers. So it might be strange to consider this text for Mother's Day message, right? But when you really think about it, it is actually a perfect one for today. Though the mother didn't get the things exactly right, I can tell you this woman really loved her kids. She was a loving mom. Now, we know in history that these two, James and John, were the first of the three chosen by Jesus to be his disciples. And we also know by reading Mark what the mother's name was. And she comes to Jesus kneeling at his feet, appearing very humble and saying, I need a favor of you, Lord. What is it? Jesus said, notice what she said, grant that one of these two may sit at your right hand and your left. So you see, the first attribute we learn from this loving mother is, number one, she always believes her kids are the best. Isn't that great? We want to think the best of our kids, for our kids, with our kids. We want to encourage them with all the best things. I want them to be better than me, speak better than me, do better than anything I have ever done. I want to encourage them in the gifts and talents that God has given them to glorify the Lord, to love others as Christ has loved us, to forgive as Christ has forgiven. And so we see here, she thought the best of her sons as well. Other kids are all right, but ours are the best, right? Our kids are the best. When you're the mom, your kids are the smartest or the brightest or the talentedest and an athlete, right? They can do anything. And that's okay, because kids need that kind of support. They need to know that no matter what, you're going to be there behind them. You're going to be there to encourage them. And I guarantee you, Salome was going to take up for her kids. She's going to support these two sons. Even Jesus knew how to answer this mom. He didn't say, woman, I've got other disciples that are twice as smart as your kids. No, he very politely answered, I don't think you really understand what you're talking about, what you're really asking me for. And what he's talking about is the cup of suffering that he would receive. She didn't understand that. Once again, they thought the kingdom of God was coming there and then. Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government. When he comes in on Palm Sunday, they hailed him king. And yet Jesus didn't come to be the king of this earth. His coming and hailing him king was that he was coming to set them free, not from Rome, but to set them free from the law of sin and death, to come and forgive them their sins. And so she doesn't have an understanding. Jesus doesn't chastise her. He calmly tells her, you don't understand. But I want you to know that God, I want you to know to serve the Lord. I want you to make it to heaven and enjoy eternal life. This is what God wants for all of us. You see, these positions and these finances and all the things that we have here on earth are not coming with us. The question will be, will we hear these words, well done, my good and faithful servant? Are we good servants to the Lord? Have we been faithful? Oh, and we don't have a very long time, ladies and gentlemen. When we look at the prophecies coming before us, tomorrow is Israel's 70th birthday. We're bringing the capital to Jerusalem, or our embassy to Jerusalem. You cannot deny the fact that, well, one verse looks like it's happening. Oh, another verse possibly. When you consider Isaiah 17, Jeremiah 12, and Ezekiel 38, all happening at the same time or about to happen, pointing to those events and the birth of Israel, Jesus is coming soon. The rapture's going to happen. Are you ready? Are you even thinking about it? I talked to some people just the other day. They were clueless, had no idea what I was talking about. Now, I've mentioned Ezekiel 38 several times. How many of you picked up that book and read it? Yeah. Read it. Understand, know that the times are here. Mothers, encourage your kids to get saved, to love the Lord. Encourage people around you. Our time is short. Jesus is coming. He promised that, didn't he? He didn't tell us the day nor the hour, but he said, look at the signs and the seasons. Russia, Syria, and Iran have never come together, ever, in history. But they're doing it now. They're from the north, exactly, and they're named in these books, or in these chapters, in God's prophecy, and we're seeing it happen. Are you excited about that? I certainly am, because we know God's coming. Jesus is coming. And Dan's excited about it too, yeah. This is Christianity 101. Jesus said he's coming back. I go to my Father's place to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and receive you unto myself. He says he's coming back. Now, he may come back for us individually, but he does promise a rapture, a harpazo of the bride of Christ. That's the church. That's us. And we're seeing these events, listen, happening right before our eyes. In Ezekiel 36, a little off track for Mother's Day, but I want you to teach your kids. Ezekiel 36, God breathes life into the dead bones in the valley. That's a picture of Israel. He brings them to life. He blesses the land. In Ezekiel 37, which was written like 2,700 years ago, in 1948, he fulfills that prophecy of bringing the people of Israel from the four corners of the earth to the land. Who's supposed to teach our kids that? Well, certainly the pastor, but even more so the parents, the mothers, the fathers, right? Teaching the kids the things that are happening around us. And in Ezekiel 38, it speaks of these nations coming up against Israel from the north. Nobody defends Israel but God. So if nobody defends Israel, where are we? We've been raptured. We believe that. We believe that we're going to be raptured. So I'll get back on target now. For Mother's Day, listen, encourage your kids. Jesus is coming. Do you ever talk about it? If he says he's coming, we have a responsibility to teach that, don't we? To be excited about it. Jesus is coming for us. To have our lamps lit empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? We're to be examples to our kids, aren't we? We're to encourage them. And again, if we don't have kids, other people around us. So yes, our mothers always think their kids are the best. That doesn't mean life is easy. Mary watched her son go to the crucifixion, to go to the cross. Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes things happen that we have no control over. The second sign of a loving mother that we pick up from this story is loving mothers always want their children to go to heaven. Always want their children to go to heaven. Listen to what she said. That they may be sit at your right hand. Yeah, we got that part, but in your kingdom. A loving mother wants their children to go to be with the Lord in their kingdom. She's planning on her children being with the Lord for eternity. And there's no doubt in my mind that this mom encouraged these two boys to have a personal relationship with God. Matter of fact, she wanted them so close to Jesus, she wanted them at the right and left hand. Now, I don't know if that was because of the position, but she wanted them in heaven. If we don't tell our kids about the Lord, who is going to do that? The world's not going to do that. Government's not going to do that. Friends are not going to do that. You're going to do that. Matter of fact, the mother is the first picture of the love of Christ. The first one. Care, compassion, love, understanding. You're the first picture of God's love in a child's life. Isn't that awesome? And the first opportunity for them to experience joy in your heart from the Lord. And now I know some of you got saved at a later age, and you didn't know Jesus when your kids were little, and now they moved out of your house, and you don't have the opportunity to do what I just mentioned, but you can still be an encourager to them. You can still be an influence to them, not by telling them and pointing the fingers, but having that joy in your heart. Light of the world, salt of the earth, so they would look at you and have that thirst for this man called the Christ. I need what you have. You're so happy all the time. Not that it's a phony joy, but it's a true joy, right? So whether our kids are in our house or out of our house, whether we have no kids or we have grandkids, we can be an influence to people around us. We can love on people. We can have a joy in our heart. Who are they going to come to? Somebody who's frowning all the time and complaining? Oh, looks like it's going to rain today. Oh, boy. Yeah, but it's really sunny. Yeah, but clouds are going to come, I'm sure, you know. Who's going to come to you for counsel, right? Or, oh, praise the Lord, beautiful day. Or even if it rains, oh, my grass needed the rain. Praise the Lord, my car needed washed. God did it for me. Have that joy in your heart. Because that's going to draw people to the Lord. It is the love of Christ that compels people to repent. They can hear all day about the fire and brimstone. They don't care. But when you tell them that God loves them, wait a minute. God loves me after all I have done. Some of us reflect on our BC days, our before Christ days, and we tear up. We cringe like, oh, Lord, thank you so much, right? I mean, we can pull up this microphone and you can come up here and tell us how bad you were once, right? Now, you're not perfect, but you're not who you were, and God has changed you. So as a mother, whether you raise the young kids in the Christian faith or now you have an opportunity as they're older, and they might not listen to you right away, but they're watching. They're watching. My mom used to say, Ken, do you know Jesus? I'm like, yeah, Ma, I went to Mass. Leave me alone. I'm good. And I didn't want to talk about Jesus, right? And if somebody doesn't want to talk about Jesus, there's a problem with their faith. Wouldn't you agree? But here's the other aspect of that. My parents never gave up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep encouraging. And one day, God willing, that light switch will go on. Oh, I'm really stupid. I thought I was so smart, right? Look how dumb I was, right? Don't give up. Just because you feel like, oh, you know, I can't go any further with it, God can go much further. You're not going to save them, number one. Jesus already died for them. He didn't ask you to, right? But he did ask you to love on them and care for them and have compassion and trust in God. God knows the finished chapter of their life. you can certainly be an influence. Moms, of all the things you can do for your children, the greatest thing you can ever do would be to encourage them to have a personal relationship with God through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that, listen, is done by example. By your example of your walk with the Lord. Because, listen, your walk with the Lord reflects your relationship with the Lord. If you never want to talk about Jesus, how could you have a relationship with him, right? If you never go to church where we come together as a family and God presents his word for this particular group, because there's another pastor of another church, God's using a different message, same book, but another message for that particular group. If you never want to come to church, how are you going to encourage your kids when they're older? Now, hey, you should go to church, but you never went, right? Now, there's an answer to that too. Yes, I didn't know back then. I wasn't a believer. You can have an answer. You can come back and encourage. Yes, my life has changed. Now I know the truth, and let me tell you, right? So we want to be an example. We want to encourage our kids to love the Lord. And it's all the time. It's when I say all the time, it's not every day, hey, do you know Jesus? Just be that encouraging element in their life. And mothers, you can be a mother figure in that capacity. There may be another mother that you know that things are difficult right now. The marriage is hard. The kids are struggling. And you can be that encourager because you know the truth, right? And God has shown you many things. At the time of his passing, Henry J. Hines of Hines 57 was one of the wealthiest men in the country. And when his will was read, it was found to contain the following words: looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ, my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by the faith of God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained. Very wealthy man, he looks back, listen, at what? The example his mother gave him. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. And again, this is not a guarantee because we have free will. Our kids have free will. We all have free will. But what you can guarantee is that sometime in our kids' lives, God is going to come along and water that seed that was planted, just like he watered the seed in Moses, right? At that point, it's up to the individual to respond to this watering. So a mother once wrote, I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I give you direction, but I cannot always be there to lead you. I can allow you freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I can't always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you lovely inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to be a friend, but I cannot make you one. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about your friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can teach you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can teach you the facts of life, but I cannot build your reputation. I can warn you about drugs, but I cannot prevent you from using them. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you kindness, but I cannot force you to be gracious. I can warn you about sins, but I cannot make your morals. I can love you as a daughter or a son, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make him your Savior. I can teach you to obey, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. And finally, I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. And so we're limited, right, because of our free will, but we can certainly encourage all the things that she said, this woman, I can teach you these things. I can show you these things. I can encourage you in these things. And once again, if your kids are older and out of your house, you can still do these same things. You can still encourage them. You can still be there for them. It takes great maturity to listen to foolishness coming out of somebody's mouth without responding how stupid they are. But we don't want to do that, right? We want to be an encourager. We want to be a listener. We want to be an ear and wait for that opportunity for the Holy Spirit to give us the right words of direction for them. So they have the free will. I believe the message of this story is that we should not underestimate the power a mother has in developing the seed of faith in their children. Developing the seed of faith in their children. And so we play a part in that. We have a children's ministry here. And right now it's a private one-on-one children's ministry. Make your appointment, and our staff is going to love on your kids. But wait, a great opportunity, right? A great opportunity. You may say, well, we don't have a lot of kids. You know, they have kids' friends, right? In church, we're going to learn about Jesus. So not only you and your house are an example to your kids, but also when they come to church, there's godly women who can be an example to your kids too. They can be that mother figure in the children's ministry of care, compassion, concern. Not that they're taking anybody's place. They are certain to be detours along the way. There is always going to be a risk when we have that free will, right? Moses went AWOL along the way. He became a murderer. He spent 40 years hiding as a fugitive. And at times his mother must have despaired, and she probably wondered if Moses would ever come back to the faith. Only God knows that, right? Only the Lord knows, and so we just want to continue to love and to care. Now, I do have to tell you, I got annoyed at all the times my mom asked me about Jesus, and the reason why I got annoyed is because my heart wasn't right. My heart was cold. I didn't want to hear the name Jesus because it brought a conviction upon me. Don't give up. Keep encouraging. Even if they've gone off track, pray for them. Can God not change things? Is God not powerful enough to grow the arm or to heal? Can he not do anything? He holds the earth in his hands and the whole universe. He can do it, right? If you're not praying for your kids, who else is? Many Christian parents know the feeling of having kids who took these detours. Be encouraged. God knows how you feel. He's dealing with the whole human race. It'd be interesting to know what Moses' mother felt about him. So mothers, you have a big responsibility with those little seedlings you have running around your home, or friends, grandchildren as well. Don't let anyone downplay the importance of your role in their life, whether you're their mother or not. You can be a mother figure. At various times, you will have to play the role of a nurse, a doctor, a counselor, a psychologist, a referee, a coach, a chef, bottle washer, cleaner, taxi cab driver. They call them Uber drivers today, right? How many Uber drivers do we have, right? Every time my kids want to go to the airport, I'm their Uber driver. And also, listen, very important, no matter what stage you are, kids in the house, kids out of the house, or no kids, live a life of transparency. Be true to your faith and your walk with God. Live by an example. How do we expect our kids to rise up and serve the Lord when we don't do anything? Think about that. We want to be an example to our children or other people by what we do. Once again, our actions reflect our relationship. Servants do what? Serve. If you're a servant of the Lord, you will be serving somewhere. I'm not going to say you better be. If you're a servant of the Lord, you will be serving the Lord. If the Holy Spirit dwells within you and you're a born-again believer, the name of Jesus, you praise the Lord, you rejoice, you don't cringe away. Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Because that reflects the condition of our heart, right? And so as the Lord leads, as the Lord provides you an opportunity to be a godly mother, capitalize on that opportunity. Snatch it, hold fast to it, and be that loving person that God wants you to be. And finally, love them and pray for them. There'll be times when we have to take a deep breath and say a prayer and cut them loose. Lord, they're yours. Moses' mother had to do that, right? Lord, bless them. Here you go. Send them down the river. So there's a time that we may have to say, all right, Lord, I can't do anything anymore. The door has shut for me to influence. Here you are, Lord. They're yours. And continue to pray, continue to love, turn them over to the Lord. If we do these things, there is an excellent chance we'll be rewarded with an abundant harvest at some point. Abraham Lincoln wrote this, "No man is poor who has had a good mother." That's important to consider. Very important to consider. Listen to what G. Campbell Morgan wrote. He had four sons and they were all preachers. Someone came to him, someone once came into the drawing room when all the family was there. They thought they would see what Howard, one of his sons, was made of. They asked him this question, "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" So this is JP's son. Asked him, who's the greatest preacher in your family? And Howard had a great admiration for his father. And he looked straight across him, and then without hesitation, he answered, "My mother." That's interesting, right? Parents have a tremendous influence. When parents understand the source of joy, when they decide to let Christ rule in their home, they have chosen the way of joy that will never disappoint them. Billy Graham's parents were both committed Christians. And although he was a businessman, his father had at one time felt the desire to preach. And this hits home for me, and I'll tell you why. The way never seemed to open for him. So Billy Graham's father wanted to be a preacher, and the door never opened for him. So after Billy entered the ministry, the father said, "I prayed for years for a way and a door to open for me to be a preacher. But never once was there the slightest encouragement from God. My heart burned and I wondered why God did not answer my prayer. Now I feel I have the answer. I believe that my part was to raise a son to be a preacher." Imagine the joy that brought to him and his wife. My father wanted to be a pastor, went to seminary school, and God just never opened up that door for him to do that. He was our first associate pastor here in the church. But he was an example for me to follow. My dad wanted to be on radio. He had an opportunity to go to California to go to radio. And for whatever reason, my mom and dad didn't go to California for that. Now I'm on the radio. And so think about that. It might not be happening for our desires, but God may have it for someone else. And if you're a mother, listen. You have such an opportunity to show your kids the way of the Lord. Forgiveness, compassion, others-centered, loving people. All the things that God has poured into us, mothers, you mothers, we can pour out to our kids. And that we will glorify the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace. And for calling us to be brothers and sisters to each other. Today, Lord, we pray for our mothers who cared for us when we were helpless, who comfort us when we were hurt, who love us and care when often we took them for granted. Today, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mother, for those who never knew their biological mother that they yearned for, those who have experienced the wonder of an adopted mother's love. The families separated by conflict. Lord, give them a special blessing. Keep us united with you and with each other so that we can be and become all that you have meant us to be. And may our lives bring peace to those around us and give you glory. And bless our mothers. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.